Welcome to Living Faith Online with Pastor Connie McLean.
Hello, and welcome to a special edition of LFCC Online, Wednesday Night in the Word. As you may know, this year marks 40 incredible years of Living Faith Christian Center. Back in 1985, Dr. Lamont and I founded this ministry with a vision to see lives transformed by the power of God. And as part of our anniversary celebration, we're doing something special. On the first and second Wednesday of each month, we're reaching back into the archives to bring you a powerful series from Dr. Lamont. For those who were here during his time, this will be a beautiful walk down memory lane. And for those who have joined us more recently, this will be an opportunity to experience his powerful teachings for the first time. No matter where you are in your faith journey, I know this series will bless you in a deep and meaningful way. So get ready, because what God has done before, he is still doing today. Let's dive in.
Are you with me right now?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody say the system.
The system
is God's word.
God's word.
To me.
Whatever
God says, that's his system for you. Your job now is to get that system in you. And when you get it in there, keep it there. Keep it there. Because you're going to find out in a few minutes that there's something and some forces that are trying to get that force out of you. Because if it can get the force out of you before it starts to produce, then you will be trapped in the lifestyle you've been living all your life. But if the force is in there, the force is going to bring you out of where you are into where God wants you to be. And all this was set up, listen to me, all this was set up before the foundation of the world. Now, you're not going to receive this in some school. The world's not going to teach you this. Because the world, put it this way, the world is oblivious to this. All this was worked out before the world was. So you're not going to learn this from any teachers or any seminar. You're not going to learn this from people who who are teaching you how to become, you know, successful at this, that, or the other. You know, these motivational speakers. You're not going to hear it from them. Why? Because they don't have the Word of God. All they have is what they did. And all they're doing is teaching you their past. Hello? Matter of fact, it's not even working for them no more. That's why they're standing up there teaching you. So they can still continue to live. They're living off their past. Hello? Who are the motivational speakers? They want to get athletes, you know, who can't athlete no more. Corporate execs that can't corporate no more. Hello? Business people who have run out of their time. They said, well, we have retired from business. That's because you can't business no more. But what are you? I'm a motivational speaker now. I'm making money off my past. And then they get people who are naive to come in and listen to them and figure out, I want to be like them. I want to be just like that. And so they're living off of people who are being naive and thinking they can be like the people talking to them. You can't be like them, because in order for you to be like them, that would mean that what God did in you was not sufficient enough. The reason why they did what they did, because God uniquely made them to be that way. Amen. In order for you to be like the person speaking to you and trying to motivate you and, you know, trying to get you to walk through fire, they're doing all kind of things to try and, like, you can do it, you can do it. Do like me. I don't want to do that. I don't need that. You have to understand, you are uniquely made.
Yes.
There is nobody like you. So you can't stand up here and look at somebody and say, oh, yeah, I can be like you. They can't tell you, yeah, you can be just like me. No, they can't. You are uniquely made. You have a unique purpose here in the earth. God has designed you before the foundation of the world. He's got a plan for you. I'm not saying you can't learn some things from them, but you can't become like them. Because God made you to become like you.
Amen.
Then, Pastor, who do we listen to? Well, I'm glad you asked. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. It says, the sower soweth the word. Who is the sower? The sower, the word sower means two things. It means the farmer in the natural, but the teacher in the spiritual. The teacher sows the word. How do you sow? Everybody say, sowing
is saying.
When a teacher stands up and says what God says, he's sowing the word.
Amen.
The teacher is the one who's speaking, and as he speaks to you, he's sowing what God said. He's not trying to motivate you based on what he has done. This is a man of God who's been called by God. He stands in the gap to now say to you what God said.
Amen.
He's part of the system. God has this. God is the beginning of this system. Stand up here for me, Andrew. You look like God. Amen. Stand up here, Ed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Stand up here. Just stand right there real quick. God started the system. The system he designed was his word. And God said, you, in turn, need to get hooked into the system. But you can't get hooked in until you hear what God said. So God creates sowers who will come to you and say what God said. He will pick men of God. They will not represent themselves. They will be pastors after his heart.
Yes.
And they will feed you with knowledge of God and understanding of what God said. Are you with me? Their job is to sow the word. In other words, when I stand up here, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you my experiences. I'm not standing up here telling you how I made millions of dollars in business. I'm not standing up here telling you how I grew the church. No, that's not my purpose. That's not my job. Praise God. My job is to sow the word.
Amen.
People want me to write books on how I did it. I said, no, it's easy. You don't need a book. Just obey God.
Right.
Come to church. Hear what God said. You're looking at things instead of hearing what the word of God said. The word must come from God. If he says it, then this man has a right to sow it. If God doesn't say it, this man doesn't have a right to sow it. And when he sows it, your job is to hear it. Are you with me? The sower, everybody say the sower.
Soweth the word
that came from God.
And now
I can hear
what the sower
has sown.
Has sown.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. The sower sows the word. And look what happens when he sows the word. Remember, the breakdown in the system doesn't take place until it gets to you. If the sower is sowing the word, are you with me?
Amen.
Now, if you're in a church where they're not sowing word, but they got a lot of emotion and hoop and holler, the breakdown is there, and you better go find some place where the word is going to be sown. Why? Because my life depends on it. I need to get something in me that I can keep so something can be produced of what God said. When I hear that word, I'm cooking into it. Amen. Ooh, glory. Look at this. And these, watch this, 15. And these are they by which, these are they by the wayside, where the what? Where the word is sown. But when they have what? Come on, heard. Satan comes what?
Immediately
to take away the what?
Word
that was sown in their. That's why you've got to keep your heart. Because Satan is hot and heavy for the word. What's he trying to do? Listen to me, folks. He's trying to infiltrate the system. He knows the word of God is the power of God. And he knows that what that word will produce. Therefore, he's trying to get to the word so that he's trying to get to the word so that it won't produce in your life. See, it can't produce for him because he's not a son. So the best thing to do is keep you from becoming like God. Because if you become like God, you're going to take away his playthings. Oh, y'all don't understand what I'm saying. When he tries to play around with a person, you're going to sit down and say, come out of him in the name of Jesus. When he tries to cause somebody to be sick, be healed in Jesus' name. When he tries to take over a territory, no, you get on your knees and you start praying in the spirit, bringing the power of the Holy Ghost in that town and in that area. He's trying to keep the word of God out of you so that you will not hinder what he's trying to do. Amen. He saw what the word will do when it gets inside flesh. Its name is Jesus. Y'all, come on. See, he knows what it'll do to him. He already felt the blows. Jesus whooped him up one side of hell and down the other. Hello? He just whooped the hell out of him, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. He don't want to mess with nobody who's got the word on the inside of them. He's afraid of people who got the word. So the Bible said he comes what? Immediately. What's he trying to do? He's trying to infiltrate the system before you learn how to use the system. He's a dog that sits under your table. See, some people think that he can come and take the word. No, he just can't take the word. The Bible tells us in Matthew, he comes, watch this. The Bible said, he comes to take the word that you don't understand. And the word that God gives you, the word that's being sown to you, if you don't understand the word, then he has a right to take it. That's why you work very hard to get that word and keep that word. He has a right to, he's sitting there just like a dog underneath your table. God said, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemy. I'm feeding you every Sunday. I'm feeding you the word of God. I'm preparing your blessings for you. But if you don't understand it, he's that dog underneath the table ready to take what you leave. That's what happened when the woman who didn't have a covenant with God came to him and said, my daughter is sick. Can you help her? He said, I can't do anything. Came to Jesus. I can't do anything because I wasn't sent to you. I was sent to the house of Israel. And he said, and Jesus called her a dog. Why? Because she was trying to get in, trying to infiltrate into a system that that she didn't have a right to be in.
Amen. Amen.
And then she made a statement that, you know, that hooked Jesus up. She said, well, even the dogs can eat crumbs. Jesus said, yeah, you're right. Here, take a crumb. Go heal your daughter. Why? Because that's whatever is laying underneath the table. It's waiting to feed off of what you don't understand. You got to have the same spirit as a prophet Samuel. As a young boy, he said to God, he said, Lord, I will not let your word fall to the ground. I ain't giving the devil nothing. He's not going to have no place. That's why the Bible said Samuel was the greatest, one of the greatest prophets of all. Didn't let anything fall to the ground. Great understanding. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, y'all getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Immediately, Satan will come and try and take away the word. What's he trying to do? He's trying to infiltrate. But watch this. If he can't infiltrate, this is what happens. Look at this. Remember, the system is in the what? The word. System's in the word. The power's in the word. The power in the system is in the word. Verse 16. And these are they likewise which were sown on what?
Stony ground.
Who when they have what?
Heard.
Here it is again. When they have what?
Heard
the word. Immediately they received it with gladness. And have no what? They don't have no foundation in them. And I already told you what the foundation is. Foundation is fatherhood. They have no root. They have no foundation in them. And so endure but for a short time. And afterwards, when affliction and persecution arise from the devil, for what sake?
Word.
For the word's sake. The devil don't care about you.
Right.
He's afraid of the word.
Right.
He's trying to, listen, if he couldn't steal the word, he wants to now bring persecution so you give up the word. Then it says here, for the word's sake, immediately they are what?
Offended.
They're offended. They come into church and because they have no root in themselves, they have no foundation, they get offended at the things of God. You know them, they get offended at the pastor because the pastor said something they didn't like. They get offended with their brother and sister in the church because they're doing stuff that and saying things to them that they don't understand. They have no understanding in them. They have no foundation. They get upset. Then they get offended. Offense is just the bait of Satan.
Right.
It's the bait of Satan. He sits there just like a fisherman, a bass fisherman. And he throws out his lure. He doesn't know who's going to bite. He's standing right here right now while I'm preaching. And he's casting out his lure. He's got a little anger. He tries anger. He tries a little jealousy. Somebody here going to bite. He's going to throw out. Anger and jealousy don't work. He's going to change the lure. That's what a fisherman does. If they're not biting on this one, let me try another one. Hello? He's doing whatever he can to get you into offense. So you get angry. Get upset. Why? Because you don't understand. You need a father, a mother, to help you understand. Those of you who have children in school or in high school, when they come home, you know, and all of a sudden you can tell just by their countenance, they're upset about something.
Right.
And you ask them, what's going on? Mm-hmm. You know. No, what's wrong? Mm-hmm. And the parent has to keep talking to them and keep going at them until finally they say, well, you know what Susie said? John said, I'm not pretty. The teacher made fun of me. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Now they're in offense. But because they have a parent, that parent's not going to sit there and let them stay there because they know that it's going to affect them and not the person who said it to them. And so they'll sit there and say, look, honey, look, baby, look, you are beautiful. Don't you worry about what somebody else says. You are, listen, we raised you this way and we did this. And that parent will keep talking to them until that child just puts all that aside. Then they go back to school the next day. They're not offended. Why? Because the parent was there to help them get out of it. And that's what happens in churches. If you don't have a spiritual parent, a spiritual father, you get offended with what somebody says about you or how somebody looks at you, and you get mad talking about, I'm leaving that church. I don't need that church. But if you got a spiritual parent in that church, they're going to sit there and tell you, no, that's not the way you act. You don't sit there and walk around in unforgiveness. God made you better than that. Satan is counting on that. That's why you see so many people jumping from church to church, because they get offended everywhere they go. And the fact is, you got offended in this church, you're going to go to this church, you're going to get offended. Now I'm just offending some people right now because Satan done threw that lure out there. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to stay. You don't have to get offended at that. People are going to talk about you all your life, but it has nothing to do with who you are. Listen, God made you for the purpose of who you are. Listen, if people can't accept you the way you are, then you don't need them in your life. All you need is Almighty God. You're not here to please anybody but God. Amen. You cannot please everybody. Yes. Stand up for a second. Now turn around and look at all those people. Can you please all those people? You'd have to dress the way everybody in there wants you to dress. Some people don't like the way you dress. They don't like wearing black. Some people don't like beards. Some people don't like you because you look big and move. You don't care.
No, I care about what you say.
You care about what God says. Amen. You cannot please all these people. But if you please God, guess what? Amen. Hey, forget them. Amen. You can't offend a man like that. You can't offend him. Why? Because he's not out to please you, no how. He's in the system. I got my church. I got my pastor. I got my word. Hey, you need to get it. And so you want to talk about me, I feel sorry for you because you don't know what you're talking about. Amen. Oh, let me move on here. Real quick, hallelujah. Oh boy, verse 18. And these are they which are sown among what? Thorns, such as what? Hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness. Remember, we're talking about you got to keep the word where?
In your heart.
And so all this stuff is trying to get the what? Word out of your heart. Deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in. And what? Choke the word. Choke the word where? In your heart, because you're getting crowded. It's getting crowded down there because you got what you want. You're desiring things. You're lusting after things. So the more you put in what you want, whatever word you hear, you're going to start choking that word. God's word already has plans for you. But you start making your own plans, you're going to start choking the word. It says, and you're going to cause the word to become what?
Unfruitful.
It's not going to produce what God wants you to do. What's it talking about? It's talking about believers who are, your believers, they love God, but they're still dominated by the flesh. These are the ones who are sitting around, you know, doing stuff, and then they feel bad when they do it. These are the ones who have spiritual parents, but just like a teenager, you think you're getting away with something. You're going to act nice around the parent. Oh, boy. See, teenagers, they are masters. They are masters. They know how to act right. Oh, when they come to church, they act right. But when they get away from you, when they're at home, they act right. You introduce them to people who come into your house. They are so sweet. But when they get away from you, Why? Because they got their own thing. They got their own desire. Got their own little clique they want to hang around with. The Bible calls that iniquity. The flesh is driving them. Oh, they in here. Y'all in here. But it doesn't matter. You may be able to fool us. You may be able to fool other people. But you can't fool God. God knows who you are. And you will know. And if anybody hangs around with you long enough, they don't know why. Because nothing's being produced in your life. None of the word, none of it is being fruitful. Hello? Amen. And it's because you have too much in there choking the word. Amen. You got to get rid of it. It's not what I desire, it's what God wants. Amen. Are you with me now? Amen. All right, I'm speeding this up so I can finish it. But I'll come back next week and we'll clear it up, okay? Amen. All right, look at this. Here we go. Praise the Lord, not enough time. All right, verse 20. Ooh, glory to God. Yeah. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on what?
Good ground.
Ooh, how many good grounds we got in here? Anybody say good ground?
Good ground.
Do you know what good ground is? Huh? You know what good ground is? What's good ground? I don't get so much as that. Last time I said, like, you're good ground. Yeah. What's good ground? No. But Pastor, I be it if whatever it is. Whatever it is, Pastor, that's me. See, that's why the enemy is coming and stealing from you.
Come on.
That's why he's taking things from you. That's why your needs aren't being met. You qualify. You're even in position. But because you lack understanding, amen. Thank God you're in a place where somebody can give you understanding. Amen. Good ground are those believers who protect their heart. They are the ones who know that what God says is more important than what anybody else says to them. Or anything they experience, they will protect their heart. Even when they're going through trials and tests and tribulation, they're still going to protect what God said. God gave them, God told them what he's going to do in their life. It doesn't matter what they're facing. Doesn't matter how much they're going through. They're still holding on to the vision God gave to them. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? They are protecting what's in there. Why? Because they know what's in there is going to produce. If God said it, it's going to happen, glory to God. That's good ground. Oh, here we go. These are they that such as hear the word, watch this, and what? Receive it, and what?
Bring forth
fruit. In order to hear the word and receive it, you got to believe in that word. Amen? You got to believe in it and receive it and bring forth some what? Bring forth fruit, some what? 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. It's going to produce. If you keep your heart, it's going to produce because it came from God. It's part of the system. I got to keep it. It's going to produce. But then it says, some is going to produce 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Let me show you. Stand up here, please. Stand up, Ryan. Come here, Gene. The Bible says this is good ground. The word was sown. They protected their heart. They're not letting the devil in. They're hooked into a church. They got spiritual fatherhood over them. I know these boys. They're good boys. The word is being sown because the sower has been sowing to them. And when the word goes forth, watch this, he's receiving 30-fold, 60-fold, and he's receiving 100-fold. Listen to me. It's the same word. The same word being sown. They're all good ground. They're receiving it, but he's not receiving 100% of what God wanted him to receive. He's not receiving 100% of what God wanted him to receive. He's receiving all of what God wanted him to receive. Why is that? Why is it that even after all that, now remember, Satan is doing everything. Your flesh is trying to stop you. The whole world is trying to stop you, trying to deceive you. Everybody's against you because they don't want you to get the word. Then after you get the word, watch this, after you get the word, you still may not receive all that God has for you. The one who receives 100-fold is the one you know he's going to get his needs met because he's getting it all. But what about the 30 and the 60? The reason why he's receiving 30-fold is because while he's in church hearing the word, he's believing with 30%. He's got 30% in the church, but when he goes home, he's got 70% of unbelief. Oh, he hears the word and he's rejoicing because he's into it. But when he goes home, he's still hooked in on the things he's watching TV. He's not spending any time with God in the word. He just comes to church. He believes while he's in church. He's receiving while he's in church. All of them are receiving the same word. But when he goes home, he's got the news media speaking into his ear. He's got the kids running around. He's got all the problems with his spouse talking to him. He's got, look, his boss wants him to do something. He's so hooked up, so worried and concerned about the things of this world that, watch this, what word he did hear, the thing where he was hooked in, it's overriding. It didn't take it all, but it's taking him down. So he's not getting all of what he needs. He got 30% faith and 70% unbelief. Doubt and unbelief. Hello? You don't see it because it happens at home. But in church, glory! He got it while he's here, but when you take him away, what's happening? He's not keeping it totally. He's not protecting it. Then we got Mr. 60 over here. He believed a little bit more than this brother over here. He'd been in the word a little bit longer. And so he's grabbing hold of it. He said, yeah, Pastor, I remember you when you taught that 5 years ago. I think I got it now. So he's starting to believe now. He's starting to believe. But when he goes home, he's got 40%. See, the TV and that kind of stuff not bothering him because he don't spend no time with the television. That's not bothering him. You know, his kids, you know, they under control. You know, he's been in the word long enough. You know, his wife, well, you know, she ain't never gonna be under control. He's smart enough to realize he just wanna be a happy man, so he ain't even gonna try. Better to be happy than, anyway. But he's believing, but he's got 40% unbelief. He's the man, when it comes to tithing, he's not wrestling with it. He gives gladly. Because the Bible says, bring tithe into the storehouse so the blessings can be in my house. Glory to God, blessings be in my house. But then when he goes home, he realizes I ain't got no more money to pay these bills. Then he starts doubting whether his bills are going to be paid. Oh, he was all right while he was in church, but now he's starting to doubt. Are you with me? What's he doing? He's breaking down the system himself. These two gentlemen are breaking the system down. They went through all that, fought through the devil, but now they're breaking down the system God set up for them. But then we go to this man on the end who's operating 100-fold. He's operating 100%. He's not going to miss out on anything. Why? Because he's only going to say what God says. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. He's going to say what God says. He's hooked in. Everything inside is what God said. Everything that comes out is what God says. He's not going to make any confessions that are negative or contrary to what God says. When the doctor comes to him and said, listen, we examined you and we got a negative report for you. We're sorry, you got cancer. Instead of responding like, really? Are you sure? Did you double check that? No. As soon as the doctor said, you got cancer, he says, but my God. Is a healing God. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that healeth me. And by his stripes, I am healed. He's not accepting what someone else says to him. He gets a letter in the mail. Listen, it's a threatening letter. We're going to repossess your car. We're going to repossess your house. He doesn't sit back and say, oh my, Mary, what are we going to do? He said, as soon as he gets the letter and opens it, he stands up and says, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. What's he doing? He's holding on to that word. He's keeping that word. No matter what's been done on the outside, he's holding on to it. Why? Because he knows if he holds the word, the Bible says that he will bring forth. Come on, somebody say, bring forth.
Bring forth.
He's going to bring forth. What's he going to bring forth? He's going to bring forth. What's in, listen to me, what's in the seed? What's in, in other words, the word is in the seed, but it's not what's in, it's not the word. It's what God put in that word.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
What did God put in that word? He put in that word the manifestation, God's manifestation for his life. Now, and we've already learned this. God's manifestation is God showing up. This man is going to bring forth God showing up. He's going to show up in his healing. Jehovah Rapha is going to show up. It's going to show up in his bills. Jehovah Jireh is going to show up. Is going to show up in his peace of mind in his household. Jehovah Shammah is going to show up. God's going to show up. Why? Because in the seed, he's going to bring it forth. And when he brings it forth and God shows up, every need in his life is going to be met. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Did y'all get anything out of this? Because I done went way over. Come on, give God a big praise for me. We'll pick up again next week. Everybody say, the system.
The system.
God established my system.
God established my system.
Before the foundation of the world. It's the word system. If I get the word in my heart,
the system
will take care of everything else. Come on, give God a big praise. Well, praise the Lord. Are you ready to give this morning? Amen. You may be seated, please.
We're excited to invite you to join in our upcoming monthly Bible study, held every second Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. We are diving into the powerful book of Acts. Whether you're new to the Bible study or a seasoned reader, you'll find this study to be engaging and enriching. As you read, jot down any questions or thoughts. Whether you're bringing questions, thoughts, or just an open heart, you'll be a vital part of this exciting journey through the Acts of the Apostles. We can't wait to see you there. Mark your calendars. Let's make this Bible study one to remember. Calling all women of virtue, we're delighted to invite you to our monthly small group sessions entitled Cafe Conversations. This is a wonderful opportunity for women 18 and over to come together, connect, and share in a warm, welcoming environment in our cozy cafe lounge. It's the perfect time to build meaningful relationships, inspire each other, and grow together. We can't wait to see you there. Let's make these gatherings something special. For more details, call the church or feel free to reach out to Elder Ida Misher.
Because you preached that message right when I needed it. Because you didn't just build a church, you built a home. Because no matter what, you lead me back to Christ. We love and honor you now and always.
October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and we invite everyone to show their love and gratitude by honoring God and Pastor Connie through a fresh commitment to the vision. Let's bless her with our words of encouragement, thoughtful gifts, and most importantly, by putting our faith into action. Together, let's renew our commitment to serve, grow spiritually, and strengthen the bond of family within our church. You are invited to join us for a special celebration service, 10 a.m. Sunday, October 12th, here at Living Faith.